Welcome, Cow Horse, Full Contact by Ben Self, with host Chris Dawson and Russell Dilday.
This episode brought to you by Globe Life Family Heritage.
Impeccable traits.
If you're not good at anything, do a lot of things. And maybe I'd be good at something if I'd focus, but I don't want to find out. I don't want to find out I suck at all, any one of them.
What I've found is when I'm not very good at something, I've got to do it twice as hard as everybody else.
Yeah.
I just saw that tooth
you're
talking about.
Oh, yeah. Show it to you.
It'll drop right out. Have you ever spat it out? Has it ever gone flying across the room or anything like that?
No, it's a pretty...
Pretty new, though.
Oh, it's got a whole attachment. Oh, okay.
It's not easy to spit that somebody out. You'll lose a little something.
A lot of entrails with it.
Yeah.
When it comes out.
You can bring half your tongue if you spit that out.
That's quite the palate.
Deer, he can get his spit out.
I'm struggling
you
with
spit
it.
Out.
Yeah, it's not. It's a little bit of a struggle. Yeah. But Deary has just the four that clip in there.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he doesn't have to have this pallet thing.
Yeah.
This pallet thing.
You got a new retainer. Yeah. Like you're in high school.
Yeah. It won't be long. Hey, they said, we can move you up and do the surgery Wednesday, which I left for Vegas Thursday. I'm like, hell no. You imagine sitting out there judging and just having that thing throbbing in your head.
Because that's what you'd be thinking about.
So you marked your high score of the week was a 68.
That would be terrible.
I hate all of you.
Yeah.
Can you see hemorrhoid in there?
Symmetry. We're concerned about symmetry and organization in this podcast. That's why we have been.
Yeah. How do you want to start?
We've been started.
I think we've started a while ago. Yeah. That was all part of it.
Sneaking suspicion. I've listened to enough of these things. I see how these things start.
If Ben has got his thumb on the controls back there, we were started.
I never got to do my alligator.
Australian crocodile. Yeah.
We need a real clipboard thing, the real black and white.
We need some more sponsors first. So if you're
those can't be that much. I might sponsor that thing.
You get on Amazon the net. Cow Horse Full Contact, take 364. No telling what could happen next.
Well, people probably already know you, but this is Mark Michaels, and we're sitting down with him because we
got nothing better to do.
We got nothing better to do. Yeah. We're running out
of people to talk to.
Yeah. So we're going to he's going to maybe help us with our deal with this full contact. You guys want more content? We're trying to find ways to get you more content. So enter
a slave driver.
As soon as this slave you get it.
Right?
The slave driver has arrived.
But Mark is the brain behind Performance Horse Central.
Well, I've had a lot of help, but
and Cutting Horse Central. And they're both on the repeater here, so I don't...
CHC Live Scoring. Yeah, we were formerly Cutting Horse Central, and then when we got to know you guys and see what you guys were all about, I'm like, man, I can't have just Cutting Horse Central anymore. We got to retrofit it and make it Performance Horse Central, because I wanted in on what you guys were doing, and I felt like our audience wanted in, and obviously with the breeding and everything, it was just a natural fit.
Right.
It's funny, because I talked to Darren Moore. We were sitting up there, one of the first shows I went to, Stanley Stakes, I think it was, that I went to up there, and we're sitting there talking. And Darren and I were talking about rebrand, like I was talking to him about, hey, I'm going to rebrand. And so we started throwing all these names out, and I just started writing them down. And I got on GoDaddy later that day, and I bought up like a dozen different names. And Performance Horse Central was one of them. And so we got that domain name, and it just kind of was a natural fit. People still get us confused, but you know what, it all goes to the
Well,
same
that's
place,
so. My phone. My phone is still CHC. Yeah. So
we had the CHC Live Scoring, and then when we changed Cutting Horse Central to Performance Horse Central, we never did change that, just because it kind of flowed good and everybody already had the apps and all trying to rebrand an app, so we just kind of left that alone. But I think it all leads to the same place, so it doesn't matter what you call it.
Good.
So speaking of leading there, where did you come from to get there?
Oh, Russell, I don't know how far back
you weren't born here.
I was in a quick nutshell, I was born in Australia. My parents were both Dutch. And when I was, we were living in Australia, and when I was about four, we moved back to Holland. And long story short, we had a little hobby farm there, 5-8 acres, something like that. We had a couple of ponies and some cows and sheep. And
what were they doing in Australia?
Well, my dad was, he was a timber importer, so he was importing timber, selling timber. He was a salesman.
Importing it to Australia or out?
Well, in Australia he was, yeah. But in Holland he was actually working for a company there that was already doing that. And it was a big timber company making plywood and things like that. And so he made contacts. And then when they came to Australia, Dad started... he had various businesses, and when I was born, I got pretty much thrown into all of them to help, just like most kids do on a ranch sort of thing. But one of them was he was importing timber from Brazil and South America and Indonesia and places and selling that.
In Australia?
In Australia, yeah.
Do they not have any timber there?
Well, yeah. No, they've got timber, but it's not the mahoganies and the special timbers, from South America.
The hardwoods and
specialties,
stuff.
Yeah, and cedars, Western red cedar, things like that. So, so that's what he was into. But I guess, I was born on the beach, and I still have a lot of beach in me. I love going to the beach and love the water. But when we moved to Holland, like I said, we had the small hobby farm, and I was working on dairy farms with friends from school, and they all had dairy farms there, and I got into the animal side of things and riding sheep and mutton busting, whatever else. But I got into horses pretty good, and that's when we moved back to Australia. I was about 11, didn't know two words of English, fought my way through fourth grade, not much of a fighter, so that was kind of a tough year. skipped a year.
And they fight a little there.
Well,
in Australia.
They're pretty chippy.
Yeah.
They're pretty chippy. Yeah. If you've ever been to a pub over there, so yeah. No, it's all in good fun, And I think it was a really good part of growing up, because I got to go back to the beach, and then as I started coming out of high school, we went and stayed at a dude ranch, of all places. Mom took me and my sister to a dude ranch. And I straight away started, helping with the horses. And I'd get up early and go down there and help him saddle before the rides went out and started getting in. And by the end of the first day, he was already saying, hey, why don't you come up every school holidays and come work here? And so I kind of got into just every school holidays. I was going straight to work up there. I'd get on a bus and a train, and 4 hours later, I was up there. They'd pick me up at the bus station, and I was, in charge of taking out trail rides and things like that. So I did that through high school. But
your dad is still importing lumber.
Importing lumber, yeah. Had nothing to do with any of the horses. We were living in the city, basically. So, and then I got through high school. I had a couple of different jobs. Just didn't know what direction I was going to go. And was spending most of my whatever I was making on partying and having fun. And that kind of wore off after a while. Okay, I can't keep doing this forever.
What was your trade in high school that you were supposed to have?
I didn't have a trade in high school. I just went through high school and I made C's just to get through and kind of, did that. And
luckily, there's hope.
luckily, my two boys, they're A's and B's, and so that's
80%
all thanks to their mother.
Mare.
Yeah, that's 100% the mayor on that part. Yeah, but and so I can't tell too many. My wife would tell me to keep quiet all the time, not tell too many of those stories, because she didn't want the boys thinking it was okay to get a
C. What stories?
Yeah, what stories? So anyway. Transitioning from the city world, I needed to get out. I needed to go change direction, and I ended up going to work on a dairy farm. Some friends of ours had a dairy farm, and I worked on a dairy farm for a couple of years. Did that. I started going to ag college part-time. I worked in an abattoirs to kind of pay for rent, and so we were butchering sheep and cattle and all sorts of things.
Abattoirs,
yeah. That's where they kill the sheep and the cattle and process everything and do that. So I was renting a little house in town there, going to school and working on the dairy farm as well. And anyway, I was at the pub one night and met a guy called Matt Rava, who works at Slate River now still, and we're best buds. We've known each other since 89, 90. And he got me a job at Ellerston with the cutting horses. I started out with the polo horses and the thoroughbreds. I went out there and I just started two-year-olds and kind of got those going. And then he was working in the cutting horse division, and so I'd get done at the end of the day. And Matt, if you know Matt, he's just a workaholic. He'll go until there's just no go left. And I'd go over and help him when I got done. I'd go turn back for him, and also I could feel the turn back horse hooking up a little bit. And, I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. And so just I ended up getting transferred into the cutting horse side. He got me in there, and then that was the rest. I I worked there for a couple of years.
And you're in your 20s at this time.
I was 21, yeah.
And then when you left.
Yeah, yeah. When I actually was 22, I think, by the time
when you left, did they have Spunger jail record?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I had does that follow you from one country to another, or is that left behind?
No, I think it gets left behind, as long as it's not too serious. You know, yeah, yeah. You got to get out of Oklahoma once in a while. But
I ran to here. Yeah, I have a clean record here. I'm right, not leaving.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. So yeah.
So 21.
Yeah. So Matt got me a job over here with Lindy Birch, and I couldn't wait to get over here. I came over. Lindy had somebody pick me up from the airport, and she was at Carmel at the time in California, and I worked there for about 3 months. And Eddie Howard was there, and man, I was like a sponge around that guy. He was like, I couldn't believe the stuff he was doing and how he was getting those horses broke, and it was just, you know, it was way different than what we were doing, how we were doing things in Australia. And anyway, I really connected with him and Tracy, his wife, and they took me under their wing and cooked dinner for me every night. I mean, I was living in a little camper trailer and had a microwave and didn't know how to use it. And so Tracy kind of felt sorry for me, I think, and she'd cook. So I hung out there, and then Eddie ended up, he said, you need to get to Texas. And I'm like, okay. And so he hooked me up with Greg Welch, and I came down here in 92. And I... been here ever since, never went home. I started out on a 6-month visa, and actually once I came down here in 92, I met my wife a couple of months after I got down here at Woody's. Shout out Woody's. But anyway, so
a lot of good things happened.
Yeah, a lot of good things. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Notice
so
that.
Anyway, and we've been married 8 years now. So yeah, no, it's been
great.
Two wonderful kids. But
how old are they?
Hayden is 22. He's working for me now, working here with Performance Horse Central, doing an amazing job. He wasn't quite the college kid either, so he had a little bit of me in there.
A little.
Can't get all the Aussie Dutch out. He is not afraid to work hard, and I think he does get a little bit of that from both of us. So, it's been good. And then Cameron, my youngest boy, he's 19, and he's at Redlands Community College up there in Oklahoma, by El Reno there, playing baseball, and chasing his dreams. So. Yeah, so that's been fun to watch too. And so
the beaches down in Australia a little more serious than the beaches here with the sharks and the crocs, or not so much?
Well, not the crocs. The crocs are up north. Like, we don't have any crocs around Sydney, but we got plenty of snakes, spiders, and sharks and other stuff that'll eat you or kill you. But it's honestly not that much different than here. There's a bunch of stuff here that can kill you too, and there's way more traffic here and people with guns. So pick your poison. So it's. Kind of one or the other, but yeah, I mean, there's some sharks around there, but I mean, you know, I spent a bunch of time on the beach, and you know, they'd see a shark come by, they'd whistle everybody out and just get out of the beach for a while, or out of the water for a while. But it's not as big a deal as what people think it is. I mean, now the further north you go, like them crocs, yeah, that's serious. Like, you do not get in a river or anything with water in it up there, and even the bull sharks have migrated up the rivers there and stuff. So yeah, they're plentiful up there, but yeah, no, it's really not that bad a place. You'd like it.
You know, I've been over there a little
you
bit.
Have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did love it.
Yeah,
you were
I
there a long
it.
Time, weren't you?
6 months. That was it. But I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'd have went back one more time, I wouldn't have come home.
Wouldn't
I don't
come.
Think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was in the Northern Territory.
Yeah.
It's a little back in time there.
It's very back in time. I never got to go up there. I had a couple opportunities, and it just never ended up working out. But the gentleman that owned Ellerston there, he had quite a few other stations, as we call them over there, and he had a couple of, there were like a couple of million acres up there in the Northern Territory, and some of them young boys, they'd come in and they'd go up there and spend a couple of years up there, and I tell you what, it'll grow you up fast up there.
It's back in time now.
it's back in time.
And stuff will kill you.
yes, there's plenty of stuff that will kill you, but you figure out a way to survive, and you know, survival of the fittest, I guess. So. Yeah. But it's good. I mean, I miss it. There's a lot of parts about Australia I miss, but man, there's so much opportunity over here, and that's what, you know, I mean, a lot of the guys that have come over here, that's the same thing, you know. It's just to do what we do with performance horses, it was I'm not going to say it's easy to make a living over here, because nothing's easy when you're getting into the horse side of things, but the opportunities are just a lot bigger here.
More of them.
And so there's...
So it didn't take you long to like get introduced to cutting horses.
No.
And then get over here. I mean, no. It seems like that was...
It was literally 2 years. I went, like I said, when I was there at Elliston, I was there for almost 2 years. My parents ended up buying... We had an annual sale every year. The ranch that we were at stayed at Elliston. And Winderdeen, they had a combined sale. And Darren Simpkins worked at Winderdeen, and Matt Rava, myself, and a couple other guys, we were all there. And so I have a combined sale every year. And my parents ended up buying one of the two-year-olds that I'd been riding and liked, and I didn't know they were buying it, but they bought it for my 21st birthday. Well, I couldn't take it back to Elliston and train it because I didn't know how to train a horse. I mean, I could start a two-year-old, but I didn't know how to train one. And so I ended up sending it off to another trainer, and then had another guy that helped me with her. And I showed it, I think, one or two weekend cuttings. I showed a turnback horse in a 2000 limit rider, one of them beginner classes over there, and went straight to the non-pro futurity. And somehow I got through my runs, and I made the finals of the non-pro futurity over there. I think I ended up 7th or 8th or something, and that was the one and only time I've ever shown as a non-pro, and now here I am over here. And it took me a while to get back into the show pen once I got over here, but I tell you what, I learned so much from Lindy and Greg and Mike Marr, Phil Rapp. I spent 6 years with Phil Rapp. You know, so much respect for all those guys and what I learned there. And you know, and it's just my career, my training career. I was doing good. We built a ranch ourselves and got some good horses in, had some really good customers, and I started to make a living out of it. But my back was telling me otherwise, and it just got too bad that I couldn't keep doing what I was doing. I got told I was going to end up like some of the other guys that I didn't want to be like, you know, just as far as physical shape. And I decided I'd always wanted to do the cutting horse thing. I wanted to see how far I could get, but it was never going to be my living or lifestyle for the rest of my life. I mean, I was going to sell real estate or do something else afterwards, but I wanted to see how far I could get with it. And then as I was getting to that part where my back was just hurting so bad, and I just dreaded getting out of the house and having to go work, you know, 30 head, and you know what that's like when you're hurting. I mean, that ain't no fun. And so I talked to some people that I really looked up to, and they've passed since, but Tom Ryan and Ben Emerson and some of those guys, and talked to them about these ideas that I had about selling horses and about promoting stallions and doing it all through. Websites were just beginning to start out back then. And so I had all these ideas, and these websites seemed like I could do something to where it would make it easier for people to find us. And it just so happened I had a couple of three-year-olds there that weren't going to make it as cutting horses, and I had a couple of girls working for me that did some of the barrel racing stuff, and they said, well, you ought to put it on this website, it's Barrel Horse World or whatever it was. And I'm like, no way. And she said, oh, well, you know, you can put cutting horse culls on there and they'll get other jobs and they'll look for ranch horses on there. And so I did that. Well, straight away I started getting a couple of, you know, calls, and I had both those horses sold within a month, you know. And so I'm like, man, there's something to this. And that's when the whole idea, okay, now it's coming together. And I started talking to the trainers, and you know, and had this idea, and they all thought I was nuts, but they kind of liked my enthusiasm and kept supporting me and going, oh, that'd be good, you know, and yeah, get after it, you know. So it just kind of grew, you know. And and as I started promoting them, and there just wasn't a lot of promotion going on. There was no social media back then. Facebook was maybe just starting out, but just having somewhere where people could go research the trainers to find out somebody new getting into the industry and see, you know, one from another and see what the difference is between the two, other than just a name and a dollar sign behind
it. Right.
And just give people a bit more information to kind of research stallions and trainers, and then selling horses on there. And straight away, the trainers started selling horses. So now they're like, yeah, this is good, you know. I mean, back then, we'd pick up the phone and call six other trainers and say, hey, I got this four-year-old that, you know, I need to sell. And that's kind of how we sold horses, just like you guys did, I'm sure. And the website just kind of sped that up and gave it to a bigger audience, and it really took off. And that's still the biggest traffic area in Performance Horse Center. We get like 15, 20,000 people, you know, coming to a website a month, and we're putting up three or four horses a day on there. So it's really grown. It's just taken off just from the support of everybody else selling horses through there.
Mm.
You know, I've had to do very little to promote that side of it because it's just promoted itself.
That surprises me. I mean, I guess my contact with the CHC is primarily through the live scoring.
Right, yeah.
And so I guess I don't know that I've even...
So that came a little bit later. As I was building the website and we had the trainers, we had the stallions, horses for sale and some other stuff, businesses, and then just going through like with the shows and getting results from a show and finding things on websites, it was just really hard. And I wanted to figure out a way to make it easier for people to find out what was going on at a show. And I was judging a cutting in Geneva, Alabama, and we got done that day. It was just a weekend cutting, and we got done at the end of the day. And the show secretary, you know, we'd been kind of talking about my ideas and stuff, and she said, there's a guy coming tomorrow that you need to meet. And I said, just, you know, I think he might be able to help with what you're looking to do. He might be able to help. And he's an ex-Google guy and blah, 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 website guy, but very techie and all that. And so after the cutting, the next day, they had like a steak dinner deal, and I got to talking to him. And I just started throwing these ideas out at him, and he's like, yeah, I can help you build that. Yeah, I can help you build that. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. And so we basically that night just shook hands and said, well, let's see where this goes. And we had nothing in paper. We still don't have a contract. We have nothing down. I mean, this is totally him trusting me trusting him. And we've been at this for 10 years now.
Wow.
When we started, you know, just putting the whole fundamentals together for what is now CHC Live Scoring. We started out just doing the scoring part of it, and it's just kind of grown into somehow I ended up doing the videoing part on some of these shows as well, and the live streams. And then it's like, you know, you sit at home watching golf or watching something else, and you see a graphic or a replay or something like that. That'd be cool to do that, the cutting, and start figuring out, get on YouTube, how do I do this, you know? And so, yeah, the College of YouTube, that's the only one I've ever been to. Still going there. I'll be on there for a long time. But that's kind of how all those ideas kind of came together. But Eric, you know, who's my partner with Live Scoring, I mean, he's been amazing. And now we've built show software, and a lot of the shows are transitioning over to it, you know, and it's just helping, it's streamlining things, making it easier, and it's automatically going to Live Scoring. And it's built, I mean, we've only focused on the cutting side right now, but it's built to do cow horse events. It can do barrel racing. We use it for ropings. The ARHFA Rope Horse Futurities use it for all their shows. And so that's been the fun part, is just developing that side of it now. So getting in from the ground up on those shows and just trying to make it easier for everybody, not just to enter a show, but for the shows to run the shows and get the information out there and feed standings and year-end stuff and, you know, horse earnings and rider earnings and things like that.
So, well, I know when I go to a horse that doesn't have it, I'm lost.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's such a tool. I'm a paper guy, like, as far as draw sheets, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a hard time pulling it up for the draws. But you know it's there if you need it,
yeah.
Right? And so then you get to a horse show and it's not there. Man, why? Because, yeah. I mean, you just spend so much time just hitting the standings. And then I love it when it's got the different, you know, all the divisions on it,
yeah.
Which
mm-hmm.
sometimes you get that, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, it just, I don't know, it's really become a way of life from a competitor standpoint.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, through the support of everybody, you know, we've added things, we've, you know, tweaked it here and there, but for the most part, it's still pretty much what we built 10 years ago and just improved the way that it gets out there. And, you know, that I was looking, when I send out the notifications through the app, I get an email saying, you know, your notification was sent out to X amount of devices, and it's over 27,000 downloads now, you know, and that's just the people that have actually downloaded the app. Most trainers don't even know their Apple ID, so they just got the shortcut saved, you know. And so it's like, I get people coming, oh, I want to download the app. What's your Apple ID? Oh, I don't know. And, okay, well, here, just save it to the home screen, and, you know, and it does the same thing, but you're just not going to get the notifications. But that's been the fun part, and it's all the cool thing about it is it's all been driven by advertising. The advertisers have gotten on board. They're getting results out of it. They're seeing, you know, the feedback to them and the exposure with it. So it's been good that it hasn't had the cost hasn't had to be passed on to the competitor, you know, or the shows for the most part. Even with the show software now, it's built, you know, on a very small scale as far as the cost basis on it. So it's, we're trying to help everybody and trying to.
Well, now you can purchase videos on it as well.
Yeah, so we started doing the videos just for some weekend shows this year and some other shows, and we're working with some other videographers and. I got to talking to Eric, and I said, well, because I always wanted to have a way where my ultimate goal with live scoring is to be able to, like, see a horse in the draw, click on it, and see all the videos for that horse. You know, I mean, there's still a lot of things that I want to do, but this is just kind of a stepping stone. And so we made it to where at select shows, at some of the shows that we do where we kind of control the video or we have a videographer that's working with us, We've got it to where now when that score comes up, a little icon comes up next to it where you can just click on that and purchase the video right there. And
We'll
try to get that out to you within 24 hours, you know, and send you the video. And it might have a little sponsor reel on there or something like that. But it's really helped with people wanting to sell horses or people shopping horses.
Right.
We get a lot of orders. And it's funny because I get orders from people I know, and I'm like, well, they're not at that show. Or they're not, you know, they've got nothing to do with that horse. And they're looking at that horse, you know, and they didn't see it live and they want to go back and watch it, or, you know, and so we're doing a lot of that. So I think it's really providing a service that way. We have a search tool on there, which we haven't actually launched it publicly, but a lot of people know about it, and I'll give it to you later on. But it's a link where you can go on there and you can just type in a horse's name or a rider name, and it's going to pull up every run that they've had on live scoring. And
wow.
It will give you averages down the bottom, so you can see what your yearly average is on scores and things like that. But it's like a Carfax for horses.
Wow.
And that's where I'd like to tie, then go back and tie, you know, when you have all those results in, it'll tell you what show, what day, what round, what placing you made, what score you had, and have that to where you can click that and then go pull that video up. You know, I think just for archival purposes and for selling and for people looking at horses, that'd be kind of a cool feature to have. And we're not there yet, but, you know, that's something that I'd like to work at it.
Me,
at some point.
Wow.
This is from a troubled youth with no education.
Glad to get his finger out of the dike for crying out loud.
Yeah, glad to get his
finger.
Yeah. And then to go all the way to be the top end of a technical world and breaking new, it's kind of crazy.
I don't know about going by the
must
top
be
end
the
of
married part. The marriage
yeah,
must
I
have
married
turned
good. I married up. Yeah, I hit out hit my coverage, as you might say.
Right.
I've heard you say. But
How was that first meeting? Love at first sight?
Not
or?
Totally. Yeah, I spotted her across the room.
But
she heard me order a drink and heard my accent, and that kind of piqued her interest.
Oh,
I couldn't dance
stinking.
With her. I still can't. So
not
accent.
What is
that accent's unfair. It's an unfair advantage.
Well, it's like when you guys come over to Australia, all the girls are like, oh, yank.
That's not how it worked when I was over there.
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
But no, it's been a fun journey. But like I said, I've had a lot of great people that have made me look a lot smarter than what I really am. And you know, and we've grown. I've got several people working for us now, and they're all really good at what they do. You know, she was my first employee, and she takes all the photos at the shows when we, you know, do that. And she's just amazing behind the camera and just gifted with that side of it. And she shows, so I think that helps with her timing and everything else. But yeah, she's been with me 8-9 years now, I'm not even sure. And then Alex has been with I pilfered her from Quarter Horse News. Yeah, so I'd kind of seen some of her articles and some of her stories and talked to her at Abilene one time, and I'm like, what are you making? How much you need to make? And I started, you know, doing the scouting, and then she reached it back out to me a little bit later on. And she's been great, does all the graphics, and now I've got Aaron, like I said, Hayden's working for me, doing the webcasting. And we're doing so many shows now, I physically can't go and do them all, and I'm really bad about saying no. I want to do them all, but Hayden's jumped in and he's been really good, and he's smarter than I am. So this thing is going to keep growing because, I mean, he's got that young kid mentality and they've got the techie part, you know, and so, yeah, and he really enjoys it too, so I think it's going to be fun.
Well, I think what fascinates me about the deal is there's been a lot of people that have tried to do the horse selling, and it's like they just can't get the traffic generated, or it'll be kind of a flash in the pan for a minute. But the way you guys have diversified there, I think, do you think that that's what's kept the original, the sale model working? Or do you think that that was, I mean, what do you attribute the success of that part of the business to?
I think the biggest part of that success is that I stay out of it. I give them a platform. I give people a place to contact the seller. The seller talks to the owner. I take no commissions. I've got nothing to do with the sale of the horse. So they're talking directly to the owner. Now,
it's really just a forum then.
It's a forum. All I'm providing is a platform for people to meet with, you know, to find the horses they're looking for, or trainers. And a lot of times I've had trainers tell me, oh, they called about this horse and I knew it wasn't going to fit him, but I had another one I hadn't listed yet, or I knew about this other one. And so all of a sudden now it becomes a networking thing. And you know, and I've got trainers that tell me they look on there every morning to see what's new on there, you know, and the people shopping. And I had a lady email me yesterday coming down here to the Super Stakes from Ohio, And she says, I want to look at as many 4 to 7 year olds as I can while I'm down here. Well, I don't even manage the listings. I mean, people put them up themselves. I just see them on there. So, you know, I mean, we've got search tools on there where you can search by age. But I told her, said, just, you know, go talk to the trainers, find someone there and talk to them, and they'll let you know what's around here. And, you know. And,
so,
you know,
how do you make it pay for you?
So, like I said, the majority of what we, the income that drives CHC Life Scoring and Performance Horse Central is generated by advertising.
Advertising,
yep. The trainers pay a $399 fee a year for a trainer listing, so that's very little, but we keep up with their trainer. We add photos to there, we add their accomplishments, we update their earnings, we do special interviews with them. So it's all about promoting the trainer, but I've got to charge a little bit for it so that we keep it to where, you know, we're focusing on the people that really do want it. We don't have to just all of a sudden grab everybody.
Yeah.
But for what they're getting back out of that, I think they're all, I mean, most of them have stuck with it, and it keeps growing every year. So I think that's been really good. For anybody can list a horse on there. It starts out at $25 for a standard listing for 60 days, or you can upcharge it to $75 and you get a Facebook post and get some extra promotion in the scroller. Mm. So, you know, you don't have
it's,
to spend.
It's yeah. cheap.
Yeah, I think for what
that's
you,
cheap.
You know, and that's what everybody's asked. Well, what do you get for commission? Well, I don't. There's no commissions, you know. But I want the volume on there. I want to keep the volume, because the more people that are coming to my website looking at horses for sale, they're seeing advertising while they're on there.
The better.
So it cross promotes them, and I can report back to my advertisers, show them exactly how many people clicked their banner or how many people saw their banner. And you know, and I've had them tell me that they're even ranches and things like that advertise with us, just with their banners, people see it and they call them and say, what have you got for sale? You know, and they don't have any horses listed, but they know that you know, that they're mm-hmm. a ranch, and they have breeding programs, and so that's where they're calling. So yeah, but it's driven itself, really. Yeah, but it's just been fun to kind of watch it grow.
What were some of the hard things to get through in building it? Nothing's just a
The tech side. We've revamped the website a couple of times, and Eric, you know, he's built this one. I told him at one point, I said, because I went through, when I first built the website, it was going to be way too complicated for me to build it, even through GoDaddy or whatever. And I was looking around, and I found a website kind of that had the features that I kind of wanted, and it was in Australia, and it was kind of doing something with horses. I can't remember exactly what it was doing, but it had some of the features that I wanted. So I got to diving down in there, I found the software that they used and tracked it back to Grand Prairie down here. I called that company, got in touch with them. They said, yeah, you can buy the software. I said, okay, cool. And then I got the software. I'm like, well, I don't know what to do with it. like, now what? And they said, oh, well, you need to, you know, outsource it to somebody that can build it. Here's some people. And they put me in touch with a guy in Canada. He builds like eBay type websites for Saudi Arabia and these other places. And it's just weird. I'm like, really? Like, we're going there now? Like, so it was kind of, I went a roundabout way, but when I met up with Eric, and then he's like, well, he said, you know, because I had my website up, and he's like, yeah, we can tweak some things. And then I said, well, I want it to be like Amazon Prime, or, you know, like on Amazon, like you get on TV or Netflix. I want it to be something totally different, and I just want to be able to see the main things you want to click on, and then from there you go on and, you know, and do that. And then he built what we have now, and it's just, it's grown, and, you know, we've added things to it, and we're still adding things to it. But I think just the technical side of it was a little bit mind-blowing at first, but Eric dug me out of those holes, you know, thankfully.
So. Lucky to run into him.
Yeah, for sure. It's like finding that good farrier or good vet, you know. Finding a certain lameness.
Or going to Woody's.
Going to Woody's.
Yeah.
Getting that cheese.
Find that good woman.
Cold beer.
So, let's step back and talk to you. Let's go through that transition, Noah. How old were you when you decided to, when the back was starting to fire up and you were kind of looking for something else to do?
So I had back issues even in high school. I picked up a damn dumbbell one day in the gym, and I was probably 17. And it was a light dumbbell, but the way I picked it up, it popped some ribs in my back. And I didn't think much of it, you know, and it kind of got better, and I don't think I even saw a chiropractor. And then I didn't have anything for a while, and then all of a sudden, about 4 or 5 years later, I did something. I think it was throwing hay around or something, and it popped again. I'm like, damn it. And so that deal got to where all of a sudden it became more gradual. And I got to a part there where Trev Dixon, the chiropractor, he's been amazing throughout my whole career when I was training, keep me fixed up, kept me in touch with doctors, and I get back injections and stuff. But I had these damn ribs that would just keep popping out, and then some arthritis in there. And it got, I guess, 2011, 2012, it got like where it got to be every month. Like I'd pop them out. And I'll never forget, right before the summer spectacular here, the Derby, I popped it out about 4 days beforehand. And I fell off my horse, basically, crawled off the side of it, went straight to Trev's. He got me in with a specialist in Fort Worth. Well, in the meantime, I'm calling people going, man, I'm screwed because I can't go show, you know. And Paul Hansma jumped right in, being the guy he is, and he's like, I'll work your horse, just bring him over and have your help, just bring him over here every day. And so they trailered him over there, he'd work and bring him back. They'd take care of him, and I went and kind of got some chiropractic done, got some stuff done, and I literally just showed up here, stepped on him. These horses felt so good.
They're out again. They're out again.
I paid Paul to train my horses. Yeah. Like, God. But no, after that, it just got more and more, and I'm like, man, I can't keep doing this, you know, and it's not fair to my customers and everything else. And so I thought, this is just my sign. So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to need to be done. She said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I want to build this website. She's like, well, what are you going to do in the meantime? Like, we got bills, we got a ranch, we got payments, we got this, that. And she had a job. She's a CPA, and I mean, she's got a job, but we needed more than just the one income. I mean, that's kind of how we've been making it. So I said, well, I'll go start judging. So I went and started judging, and it's funny because I was still showing at the time. When I started judging, man, it helped my showing. Like, just sitting up there and picking runs to pieces, I'm like, yeah, I need to pay more attention to that, you know, and I'm sure just like you guys have seen and done. But anyway, then the judging got more and more, and I quit the training, and then that's when we really deep-dived into, okay, now we're going to do a website, and I started that, and I think I judged, I'm not going to say full-time, but pretty heavily for about a year, and that was the most fun I had, because I got to talk to people that I never got to talk to all over the country, and meet people, and you know, everywhere I went, I'd be talking about my wild idea, and I still get them coming up to me now and saying, you remember that time you came out and judged and you were talking about that harebrained idea? Look at you now, you know? It's like, yeah,
hey,
I had no idea.
I'm judging, and I'm looking for people to put on this site before the class starts. Can I count on your support?
Can I? Well, it's like a fireman calling. It's pretty
funny. Once the website started, and it's funny because like, I knew that I couldn't keep judging. I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to look right. And I was talking to Russell McCord one day, and I'm like, hey, Russell, I'm going to do this website deal. I'm going to, you know, this is going to be my future. And I said, I probably don't need to be judged. And he says, yeah, it probably wouldn't look good. He said, you're marking all the guys that are on your website and the other ones. So I didn't judge anymore then. There's times where I still wish I could go judge because I really enjoyed it, you know, and it was fun to do that. But like I said, just to, you know, when I was training.
You get your cow horse card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd want me sitting up there. I don't understand. That reining's like way over my head. You know, it's just
that's the easiest part.
That one you'll get through.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd never really looked at it, but yeah, I still don't think they'd want me up there.
Well, they don't want any of us up there, really. You might as well just join the ranks. Just go up there and kill dreams. That's all you're doing.
Well, that's all you're doing, yeah. But no, it was fun. But and then the website took off, and then I didn't have to judge anymore as far as that went, and it just kept growing.
How many shows do you think you judged in a year?
I have to look at my credits. So I think I did 40, somewhere around 40 maybe, in those couple of years that I was judging. Yeah, mostly just, I did a couple of major age events, but mostly weekend shows. But I enjoyed the weekend shows the most just because, you know, just seeing all the different people you don't normally see. Because I was down here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go too far out. I mean, I'd go show, you know, at some of those other places, but even when you're there, you're focused on your own program and you're working your own horses and you're doing your thing. You're not really sitting around talking to people, or I wasn't back then, but I really enjoyed that part.
It is crazy what you see judging.
Oh, yeah.
All the stuff you think they don't see.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, for God's sake. Yeah. No wonder. How did they mark me that high? Because that's terrible, and I do that.
Right. And you're not allowed to put it on the card. And I told Russell, so we need to have a box there. If we see him making the same
comments.
Mistake over and over, just
it's in comments.
Over. You know, put your damn hand down quicker. Or whatever, you know? So,
they used to have that.
Yeah.
They used to have a comments box on the edge in our card.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Hey, so the other day, Travis came over and sold me some Globe Life insurance. Sold my wife some Globe Life insurance. And he's a pretty good salesman. But I don't know if he's as good as my wife. Because now he's sponsoring the podcast and he bought a whole bunch of meat.
Good job, Trav. Well, the good news is that it's a heck of a good product that he's selling.
Yeah, really good. Superb. And I put the boys on it because they don't really have a ton of insurance, and if I go down, Tana can do all the work.
She does anyway.
Whatever. Ease up. You're ruining my stature. Take away my figurehead status. But like so Colt like, in them,
if she gets hurt, if she gets hurt when she goes and does her Navy SEAL training, this is gonna
paid.
You're gonna get paid. That's outstanding. But they didn't pay you anything for your tooth.
I was a little, yeah. They didn't. Timing was bad.
The timing was bad.
I knocked it out before I got it. That's just like your employee, who didn't get it.
Stefan didn't get it. He had the option to get it. Didn't get it. Got hurt 2 weeks out. And now, had to haul some extra horses to Arizona. Where he lost.
Hey, I wonder if Ben has it.
I don't know. Ben should get it because he's going to be in an airplane. Although that's probably not going to be injury related. That's going to be probably
life
or death.
Hey, if you don't make it, could we take it out on him?
Maybe we could get paid.
I know.
Ask Travis.
Give life insurance on a little booger.
Especially if he's going to go to Alaska and fly a bush plane.
I wonder if we bite on him and he hurts his arm and can't fly a plane, if we could get paid for what he was doing.
Well, because he couldn't run this board.
Yeah, couldn't run a board with two arms hurt.
Well, you guys check him out. You can find him at thomasagencies.com and also at globelifeinsurance.com. So check that out and talk to Travis or Linda. And, it's not just injury either. No.
It's for sickness, cancer, all of it. Yeah. There's just a list there, and you get to look at the prices, how much you get paid back, and then the beauty is if you go 20 or 25 years and you don't have anything wrong, they give you all the money back that you paid.
All of it.
Yeah, so that's crazy
right
there.
It's like right a savings account.
Yep. Beautiful savings.
So it's great if you're accident prone and also great if you're not.
Yeah, exactly. Double.
That's a win-win.
I know. Yeah. So hook it up with them. Call Travis.
For sure. And it pays on top of your insurance.
Yeah. You can have the greatest insurance in the world, still get it. It still pays more on top. It's irrelevant what you're already getting.
So once again, you can check them out, thomasagencies.com or globelifeinsurance.com.
I don't know if I get in trouble for it, but one of those shows back in Geneva, and it's a guy that's really hot right now, Colt Moore, and I'll never forget sitting there watching. I'd never met him before, and I'd kind of heard his name in some of the chatters and stuff, but watching him show there, and he was showing anything he could get on, but he just every time, like, as he'd get his cow cut, he'd just get one more jerk, and like, damn it, put your hand down, you know. And so I got about the third day after the show had finished, I said, Colt, go look at your judge's card. And I'd put real plain there, like, you know, the holding on too long and all that. And so then he's like, yeah. So,
I see it now.
Yeah. So, but I think that part, you know, I loved being able to judge, but I wanted people to go look at the cards to see, you know, what we see sitting up there. Because that's, I think that gets lost sometimes in there. Yeah. But it's fun. Yeah.
So I guess where I was going with that was if there was any, like, what was some of the mental struggles you'd had coming, like, realizing that
time
we came as far as we were going to come physically?
You're talking about the horse training.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think that there's a lot of people that listen to this that, like, say, whether they are having those physical ailments or whatever, and, you know, and the struggling of, well, I haven't got as far as I wanted to go.
Yeah.
And how
is this
to, and just where your brain goes there, because I can only imagine that, I mean, regardless if that was your dream or not, I mean, you were very, very successful at training horses. But at what point, I mean, nobody's is as successful as they want to be.
Yeah.
And so by making that transition into another lifestyle, mid-career, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I think, you know, and I often wonder if I hadn't had the back issues, how long would I have gone on? You know, at what point would I have still stuck to that initial, you know, promise to myself that I'm not going to do this for the rest of my life? Because I think you get into that trap, chasing that dream. But for me, when my back started hurting and it showed, I could look at my photos, the show photos, and I could see myself leaning up over the, and I wasn't sitting down like I should, because you just got so tentative back there to not, you know, you dread one of those big stops that would have a bounce in it or something. And, you know, so I could see it on my photos, I could see it on my video, and I'm like, man, I don't like what I'm seeing, you know, and I'm embarrassed. And I had a couple of really good horses towards the end of my career that I think I could have easily stuck with it and kept chasing that dream. But even on them, you know, when I got to where I just dreaded getting out of, you know, going down the barn and having to go work those horses, even the good ones, and just that constant pain and getting worse with every horse you worked, you know. And but it was, I loved that. I soaked up, you know, I'd go work with Roger Wagner, Sean Flynn, Johnny Mitchell, and have more, especially when you get a good horse, because like, I don't want to screw this one up, you know, help me make this horse to what I think it can be and feel. And you know, and that was the fun part, is for me, handing that horse off and watching those guys work a horse that I've trained, and then getting back on it and feeling little things that they just in one work. I'm like, shit, why am I not feeling that? Why can't I fix that, you know? And so there's that constant challenge to yourself, like, I've got to learn how to do that. But then when my back got that way, just like, no, I'm done.
Your back might have saved you, because, you know, you can stick with this forever.
Yeah.
Just almost, you know?
Almost.
There's really nothing bad enough to quit over, but it doesn't, it just starves you.
Well, and I think, you know, we've got people in this industry and in the cow horse as well that, you know, you can see they're past their prime, and but they just love it, and they grew up with it, and they don't know anything else. What am I going to go do, you know?
I'm sitting right here.
I'm right here. I'm right here.
But it's, you know, it's that part. And I think because I didn't grow up, I mean, I had a little, I was around animals, you know, in Holland especially, but I wasn't around the lifestyle until after school, you know, and in my early 20s. And so that's a difference why I didn't chase it as hard. And like I said, I don't know, with my back being the way it was, I just don't think there was any, I hated looking at my photos and my videos there at the end, and I was embarrassed. And I just, you know, and just bracing so much and stuff, and it just starts eating at you, you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't enjoy it anymore then, and I want to do something else. And that's, you know, something about this, what I'm doing now, I'm so involved. I'm at the show all the time, or whatever show I'm at, I'm there all the time, and you're so, you know, you're into the whole guts of it, you know, not just the showing part, but I'm in working with the secretaries, and I'm out there by the stalls, and I'm seeing all the other parts that go into putting on a show, and you know, and obviously I've still got my friendships with all the trainers and stuff, and so I'm way more involved now than I've ever been when I was training, and work closely with NCHA and, you know, and other associations as well, PCCHA and even with the cow horse, and you know, for them to let us do the live scoring there, you know, that was a huge deal to me, and to get the respect and have you guys saying how cool it was, I mean, that was a big, you know, boost in the arm for me, and makes you want to do more, you know. So that's always been the compliments you get and the support you get from the guys behind the scenes. That's what really drives me, I think. Yeah.
That's just like horse training, though, right?
Well,
I mean,
same deal.
Like, you can win, I mean, whatever, but I mean, when your compadres are you know, thinking you're doing a decent job, that kind of keeps you going every day.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, it's not, you know, it's not the lifestyle that people looking from the outside in think it is. You know, it's reality. And there's a lot of hard work that goes into the shiny little bit that you get here at the show.
Right.
You know? So there's a lot, and you got to love what you do to be able to get to that part. You know, you can't just show up with your chaps if you want to be a trainer. You can't just show up with your chaps and jump on and go.
I keep trying to get my wife to let me do that, though.
I mean, man, you're in the perfect spot.
I
to do
really
that
am.
Too.
I told her, I said, listen, I said, I'll take care
Here's
of
the deal.
Yeah. Keep my chaps.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, I got an apron.
I know. It says,
more kitchen, perfect. Less bitching.
Round the pots and pans.
She won't do it.
The perfect dad letting Hadley play with the Rolex in the dirt at the
right?
American.
Exactly.
daddy daycare.
Right?
I can't believe all the other trainers aren't handing their kids over to you, you know?
Hey.
Weird. It's just weird.
I could start a whole new service. I mean, look, you found this in your transition.
You can follow it.
Right? Never say never.
Give me like a bus and just have
a Haley Solem's way. Hire Haley? You can take her. Right. Take her spot. She's going to outgrow it. You could stay there forever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think if you can ever get that figured out where you just jump on Sarah's horses and go, man, that'd be sweet.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be the way to go.
It is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, because it's not going to go the other way.
No. No, she doesn't want that.
Dang it.
Yeah.
She'd be more open-minded to your point of view.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Between, well, and she was giving me a hard time because I robbed Abby out there in Vegas, and
oh,
she made her ride my three-year-olds most of the week.
There you go.
Yeah. So I have to pillage my reining training where I can get it.
Yeah.
I love that girl.
Pretty handy.
Drove out there with Taylor Gillespie, and then Jeff drove home with him. I'm like, hey, what? Jeff, you didn't trust him the whole trip?
Right.
that flash debonair man just couldn't be resisted for two trips, just one way. There's no way she could hold herself off.
I asked her that too, and she's like, it's Taylor.
Yeah. 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 It's like family.
Right?
Yeah. Have you seen Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah. Me and Russell were going with Taylor to Kansas City.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, Thursday and Friday for War Horses for Veterans. So.
Pretty, nice.
Yeah, pretty excited about that. Hey, are these the same guys that come to your house the other day, or is this a different group?
Different group. It's some of them are the same ones from the last time I went up there.
I got you.
Yeah. What do you all do up there?
This will be my first.
You mind your manners for a while,
because
they're all special forces.
Yeah. Yeah. But then
you get over it. Yeah.
But do you go ride, or what do you do?
Yeah, yeah, we ride. They teach them to ride in 4 days.
Yeah.
On the fifth day, they're roping a dummy behind a cart, and I'm not talking at a lope. I mean a full-on lope.
Russell, I know exactly what you're talking about. We do a deal for the veterans in Idaho at the Futurity every year. We've done it for the last 3 years. Wishes for Warriors, and that's a charity, you know, takes care of the veterans and stuff. And these guys, they go out hunting and fish. They do stuff together, basically, just to go hang out together. And so they come down there, and then we got some of the trainers together, and Scott Amos was a big part of it, but we got them to bring horses in, and then those guys would get on horses, and then pretty soon we had them working the flag, and then we had them working a cow. And next thing you know, what we do is during the finals, on finals night, during the big WOW Series finals, we have some of the top guys from the clinic there come in and do a little exhibition at the end of it. Those guys have no fear. No fear.
None.
I mean, you watch them get on a horse, and you're like, have you ever ridden before? Never. Gets on,
never.
You know, from the wrong side, jumps on, and boom. Doesn't even walk or trot, lopes off.
And like, intense.
Oh, my
so
God.
So intense. They're roping and missing, and they're so mad. That it's their fourth day.
Oh, they're competitive.
They're roping off of a running horse, and they're mad they miss.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, really, what did you expect? So pretty, they're so pretty soon. I'm like, oh my God, you're horrible. And they finally lined up. I thought they were going to pop a vessel for missing. So Ben goes and misses. And I said, I had just seen Dale Brisby. I said, you know, It's not that I want you to quit. I just wish you had never tried. And I thought they were going to die. Yeah. That was my favorite line.
No fear.
None.
Know, but it just shows you the types of guys they are and what they've been through and you know and that and but
I they do not accept failure.
No,
at all.
And when we get done with those clinics, we're like all the trainers are involved with us. You know, we have half a dozen trainers or so, and they're all just like awestruck. You know, at how competitive and how. You know, the outlook that these guys have and the camaraderie between them.
And how able they are.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. And they pick things up so quick. You know, you can tell them and bang, they're doing it. And then, you know, and they're all cheering each other on. And like I said, competitive and giving each other shit when they need to.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's so much fun. I love doing that. Yeah.
Some of those that we're doing this time are going to go down the fence at the pre-fraternity in August.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to try in to Vegas. Help them and get them there. You know, Patrick Benson runs that thing, and he's got these good horses put together for him.
Yeah.
Really good horses. But then I think what we're going to do is we're going to have a shooting range also. So, you know, instead of just bringing them and not knowing how to go talk to them, you go up there and they're going to help you work on how to shoot.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to, you'll just be able to walk up there at any point and they'll help you shoot a firearm better. Yeah. I mean, it's going to probably have to be,
we had one guy,
might be rifles, but whatever.
Yeah, we had one guy, we didn't have rifles, but he brought his dirt bike and pretty soon he's got the trainers, Morgan's on there, and my son Hayden, he gets on, he's giving them dirt bike lessons out the back. I'm like, this is probably not a good thing. Because we were sponsored by Ghostwood too that day, I think, and we did, we did have a couple of Ghostwoods too. So, but anyway, but fun times. Nobody got hurt, so it was all good.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're just I immediately know they're with. It's just like all the old cowboys that I was around. That's how they act.
Yes. Yeah.
Nothing's a big deal, and they're not afraid of anything, and give each other hell.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Well, and you can pick their character right off the bat. I mean, you know, there's no covers, there's no, you know, lies. I mean, it's just like as soon as they open their mouth, you get a feeling for what that guy's like, and it's just all very true. And yeah, I really enjoyed being around those guys. They're inspirational. Like I said, it's just, I mean, makes you step back and be thankful that they're the guys that were out there
on our side,
our side defending us. Yeah, letting us do the goofy shit we do.
Like very intelligent. The one guy, Ben, was in there, he's so smart. His mind never stops. He is studying to be a surgeon while we were there. He's not all the way out of the Army yet. And he got hit. He passed his doctor deal a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they're just, it's crazy how fast their minds work.
Yep. They pick things up really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very fun. So, yeah.
One of them was left-handed. Rick was left-handed. And so he's roping left-handed. I'm like, that was a terrible idea. He says, well, I'm left-handed. I says, yeah, well, you suck so bad at it with your left.
It's not going to be worse.
Because it's not going to be any worse. You might as well start now. So he switches. And he is already starting to go to roping. So I send him, he's close to Blue Allen. He went and spent the weekend with him last weekend. And he's going to be dialed in for the fence work by the time we get there.
Nice.
Intense.
So he's been to going to ropings?
He's been going somewhere and getting to rope.
Oh, okay.
He's
real fast.
Yeah, pretty fast. I think he's been to a jackpot. He had to borrow a horse. He didn't have a horse, but he'll send me a video. Hey, how's this look? And he's in a parking garage somewhere. It's still dark. And he's looking to see that the cars that are coming around aren't parking where he's at, and he's roping the dummy. Like, way better.
Yeah.
I said, way better.
Dedicated.
Quit pulling with your finger.
Yeah.
Turn your hand over for the slack. Go cut one off. Okay, I knew you were going to say that.
Thumbs up or thumbs off?
Thumbs up or thumbs off.
Yeah.
That's us fun.
Yeah. But anyway, but that's where we're at now, and then now we're moving into the next chapter. We kind of got hooked up with you guys, and
Ruin it all. Yeah, that'll drag you down.
This
is the end of your trajectory.
The 4th of April. Remember
that? And that's where it ended.
Well, you know, I haven't listened to all, but I've listened to most of the podcasts, and I'm like, man, I'd love to be involved with you guys with doing that, and I think it's really cool, and I think, you know, like everything else, so much crosses over between all the disciplines, and you know, even guys where I didn't recognize the names on podcasts, once you start hearing their story, it's just like they're a cutter or, you know, somebody you know, and you get to hearing the whole life story behind them. I think it's cool, and so we're excited to kind of be partnering with you guys and moving forward and seeing what we can do to help grow everything together and, you know, talk to a bunch more people.
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to that. I think some of those names, I think it's funny, when a guy's listening to a podcast, you get to looking through there and kind of handpicking what you listen to.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't matter the kind of podcast, some of the ones that I've enjoyed the most,
people have no idea
who they are.
Same thing with Joe Rogan and all of them. Who's that? And
Unbelievable. And I mean, like, I would have never hit play on that one. had I not been on a 19-hour drive and I just hit play and let it go. You know.
Well, and I think that's the thing. You know, like I got to looking around. You guys have got 80-something episodes, I think, on there. And just, you know, once I've listened to, like, the popular ones that I knew, the guys that I knew are the ones that I thought I wanted to listen to, and you start picking, I wonder who this is, and, you know, and that's where you're like, man, that's a cool story, you know, and I can relate to that, and just the variety of people that you guys talk to, I think, including me, but the other ones would be way more interesting, but just hearing, you know, Jeff Metters and some of the other guys, even sponsors and things, and just hearing the backstories. You know, I'm always up. I love a good entrepreneur story, and so those are always fun to listen to, and how people got to where they're at, and I think it inspires people, no matter what you do.
Yeah. Somebody was just asking this weekend up there about the podcast and where you're going with it, and they're wanting to bridge. It was a Beverly Service. She was wanting to bridge new people to the show, and she says, "Well, you know, the podcast is probably cool for people to understand the sport." And I don't know about the new people. I said, Beverly, that, like, we have more people that listen to the podcast that aren't from here than, it's probably 50-50-ish. Yeah. And it's because it's about life. Yeah. It's not about training. It's, even if the training's involved, it's still, it's about life in it. It's not all easy. It's not all hard. It's the ups, the downs. And it's awesome to see some guy, some Dutchman, that flips back and forth between Australia, who wanders off into the first the day rides, the dude ranch, then gets it, comes over here, gets into the cutting, meets his wife in a bar. We need to still brush a couple stories from high school just to be a little more realistic. And then winds up in the tech side of, I mean, that's quite a trajectory from. It's not like, hey, that's what I want to do when I'm in high school. You didn't even have a clue what you were going to do.
No idea.
Mostly a surfer.
Yeah. Just want to hang out at the beach and party. And yeah. I wasn't a very good surfer either. But
well, your kids are old enough now. The statute of limitations is out, and we can go back and catch some of those stories that your wife didn't want you telling when they were
She doesn't know they're not true anyways. No, it was before
this,
her.
This is part of the other project that I was going to talk to you guys about, the PHC After Dark. So there's a whole different section. You know, we're still keeping this G-rated here, so you know, I got the whole PHC After Dark thing. I think we need to visit that another time. No, mine really aren't that interesting, so no, I don't have any great stories there, but that I can remember. Well, there was a time we went through. I think I was day two or day three of working for Greg Welch, coming from Lindy's, and he puts me in the truck to go to Burbank, California for the Pacific Coast Futurity. And I'm driving that old oil field truck with a 9-horse trailer. Never driven a semi before, but anyway, he just threw me in there. I guess I looked like a trustworthy kind of guy. And get to a weigh station. Well, we had to pull up about an hour before the weigh station. It was about 11 o'clock at night. And we had to pull over, and if you know anything about Greg Welch, you can relate to this. We had to strap some flashlights to the back of the trailer because we had no lights, no electric brakes, nothing, right? So they're like, I'd been told, they said, you strap a flashlight to the back of that trailer when you get to the weigh station, they'll let you through. Just tell them it just went out. And I'm like, okay, so we get to the weigh station. He's looking. He's like, where's all your lights? I'm like, they just went out. I said, we're going to go see, get the next gas station. I think it's just a fuse, but, you know, I can't fix it here. It's dark. I can't see anything. So we put the flashlight on. He's like, all right. And then he starts, all of a sudden his attention goes down, and he's looking at the wheels on the truck and kind of starts counting. And then he walks back and he starts counting. He walks around the other side and he comes back and he says, do you realize you've got 13 lug nuts missing on this rig? I hadn't really looked at the lug. That was kind of the last thing on my mind to look at when I got in this rig. And he's like, yeah, that's not going to work. And so he starts pulling out his book, and I'm like, holy cow, here we go. And we didn't have cell phones back then, so I couldn't call Greg or nothing. And he's like, let me see your driver's license. I pull up my Australian driver's license. He's like, so you got a visa? I'm like, yeah, I haven't got my passport with me, but I've got a visa. And he said, when does it run out? I said, next month. And it had expired, like, I don't know,
long 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, it was luckily it was Sunday night. It was like 11 o'clock at night. And the computer said, this was all pre-9/11. So things were a little more like relaxed back then. And he ended up, he told me to go pull over. They kind of talked about it inside the office for a while, had me come in there and Anyway, long story short, they let me go. But when I got to LA, they impounded that dang thing. That other way station there, they weren't going to let it through. So they, I mean, Greg had to spend some money to get it fixed and got a big fine and everything else. But yeah, that was kind of my welcome to Greg Welch. So love that guy. Yeah, he was awesome. The stories there. I never worked so hard in my life. And getting to hang out with Buster, going to the brandings, you know. And I mean, that was like, man, I'm like, this is like, I'm living in Lonesome Dove right now.
Yeah.
Is how it was, you know. And at the branding, sleeping out there in the bed rolls under the stars. And just, we never got to rope anything. And I, luckily, because I didn't know how to rope. But we flanked all day, every day. And we never worked so hard and ate so good. You know, that chuck wagon, that was the best. But those memories, like looking back, that was well worth everything that I'd put into it. You know, just going back through there and getting to know those people, that was pretty awesome. Yeah, a lot of fun, a lot of good stories there, a lot of good horse trainers there. You know, sitting around the campfire at night, and then the cowhands are sitting there, they're making rawhide, you know, headstalls or halters and things, and they're braiding and telling stories, and it's just like, man, I've gone back in time here. This is better than the pub stories we hear.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, no, it was pretty cool. And I think that's when I really fell in love with the lifestyle and being around it and just the people that were involved. And it just, you know, we talked a little different, but we're all the same.
Mm. You know? Yeah, that's
yeah,
truth.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, so I never really went back.
Mm.
Yeah, and then got married and went through all the legal process and became a citizen a couple of years ago. So got that done. So
full on.
Yeah, yep, yep. Did all that. Passed
just
that
now.
2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah, they had a big party here at the booth for me. I went in and got it, and then went through the whole ceremony and everything, and then came back here and they had a big banner here for me. Everybody had signed it and stuff. It was pretty cool.
I'll be darned.
So, yeah, it was fun. It was fun. So now I'm Dutch, Australian, and American.
Gee, mini Christmas.
Yeah. So anyway.
Like your very own International House of Pancakes.
Yeah.
Look at everything. A little bit of everything.
And
yeah.
Where's the missus from?
She is from Duluth, Minnesota. She's up there. Her family's from up there. And her dad was an Air Force pilot. And he got stationed down here in Mineral Wells, and that's when they all moved down here. And she went to school down here, went to Tarleton. She's way more educated than I'll ever be. And she's been a CPA since she got out of college, and she's got her own business now. And yeah, she's done well. And I always said, I think, you know, it kind of worked out that way, but I always said I didn't want to marry somebody else in the industry. I didn't want to work alongside my wife. You know, I wanted to be able to shut off when we get in the house. And maybe that all goes back to because I didn't grow up doing this. I didn't eat, breathe, and, you know, eat the lifestyle, so to speak. But I was chasing an athletic dream or a career dream. And so, you know, I felt like having a wife with a different occupation was good. We could come inside and just not talk shop, and, you know, it kind of worked out. And she's been my level, because there's been times when I want to jump ship and, you know, and give up, or, you know, not do things, and she's always kind of been my, just been a huge support, just like any good wife, I guess, just kind of kept me going. So yeah, been an inspiration to me. Yep, big part of who I am and where I am now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, they'll change you.
Oh yeah, 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 because we don't always make the best decisions. We can sit there and argue with them all day long and think they're the great decision, but, you know, and then like a couple of weeks later, she's like, "See, told you so." I'm like, "Yeah, she learned." So then after a while, you start to think, and every time she starts saying it, it's like, "Okay, I better think about this twice now." And yeah, you know, but yeah, no, it's been good. She's been wrong a few times too, but
no,
she's been right all day long.
My wife says the four most important words in marriage are, "I told you so."
I kept it simple. Yes, dear.
I had a guy tell me one time, he says, "We have an arrangement at the house to where I make every major decision and my wife makes every minor decision." And he told me, and I'm like, "You are so," he says, "in 25 years we have yet to come upon a major decision to be made." He said, "But I'm waiting. I'm ready for
one of these days."
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. I wouldn't change it. There's been some rough patches, and there's, you know, there's struggles, and but it makes, when you do kind of hit your marks, it makes it so much sweeter. And it's like training horses or life, you know, and kids. I mean, you go through rough patches with kids, and then they come through, you know. And
Chris is dreading all that.
Yeah, you just
wait. He hasn't got there yet.
No, yeah, I like it. I'm trying to embrace the cuteness here.
letting him play in the dirt with a Rolex. Yeah, you're never gonna live that down.
We got kicked out. We got kicked off the dirt pile at South Point.
You aged out. They wouldn't let you on there.
They wouldn't. Well, I don't know. They wouldn't. They
aged out.
Got the boot.
She's fine. You are gonna fall and hurt yourself off the pile.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him, not her. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it only gets worse. Yeah, yeah, it does.
Well, thank you, Russell.
Kind of hit our limits.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a little different feeling with the cameras.
Yeah. Oh, we're not going to use the camera for the whole thing.
I would have to have him answer just a couple questions before we wrap up.
Okay.
Like what you would tell someone in your position when your back was going out and you would start looking for something else.
Man, I think there's just so many different circumstances that go into it. But I, you know, because it's hard to tell somebody no. And like I said, I didn't grow up in this lifestyle, and I didn't, you know, I didn't eat and breathe it when I was young, and like some of the kids do now on the ranches and things. But I think, you know, I think you have to listen to your body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think you've got to do what's right. Not just for your own longevity purpose of it, but you got to be true to yourself. And like I said, when my back got to hurting so bad, and then I could see in the photos and I could see in the videos that I wasn't doing my job anymore. That to me, I didn't feel right charging my clients to train their horses. And you know, so for me, because I think I'd always had that in the back of my mind, it wasn't that hard a decision. It was scary. Because I had no idea if this was going to work or where it was going to go, or you know, but I just trusted my gut. And one thing, I mean, if you work hard at something, no matter what it is, you know, if you're passionate about it, and whether that's training horses or digging ditches or driving a race car, you're going to figure out a way to get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you've got to listen to your body too. And if what you're doing is only making your body worse, at some point you got to look at other options and see what else is out there. And now, you know, that there's educational stuff. I mean, you can there's other things you can go do in the industry, you know, not just build a website or whatever or do live scoring, but there's other things I think where you can still be involved.
Well, like the judging.
The judging is a perfect example, you know. And we see a lot of guys that have kind of gotten out of the training, whether it's for physical problems or not, or just not getting horses in training, but, you know, but they have switched over to that side of it. And doing that, selling horses. I mean, you know, the horse market. That's obviously, it's become where a lot more people can do that now, whether privately or online or, you know, doing it those ways. So I think just looking at other angles. But yeah, I think, you know, it's up to yourself to make that decision whether you keep going or not. But I think you got to be able to look in the mirror and say, am I really justifying what I'm doing?
Did you ever, like say after a year or two of judging, start feeling better physically and think about going back, or were you pretty much, once you walked, you felt good about it and or not?
Yeah, no. What would happen was it when I wasn't riding as many, it was easier for me not to hurt, obviously, but it also became easier for me to hurt myself, and it was the weirdest shit, like trotting a 2-year-old around, and I'd, you know, just turning it in a circle, and you'd be just kind of trotting in a small circle or something, and have a hiccup or cough, and that would pop, throw the ribs out. And so it got to where, like, I dreaded, like, you start doing a circle, you're like, oh shit, I've been here before, you know, and you don't cough, you don't breathe, you don't do anything, and, you know, and even, I've thrown my back out a lot less since I've quit training. Mm-hmm. I've still done it occasionally, and I did it at South Point last year. I drove in there and drove, packed up to the announcer stand. After 2 days of driving, get out there, pull the tub out. As soon as I pulled that tub out of the back, my back popped. I went straight to a chiropractor. I left the tub there, got back in my truck, Googled chiropractor, and it's 1 1/4 mile down the road. And I went down there, and he cracked me, and I hobbled around for a couple of days. But, I mean, I was able to kind of keep going. But it just reminds you, like, and you know, and that's, people ask me, do you miss it? And, yeah, there's I miss riding a good horse. I miss showing a good horse, and I've been fortunate enough to be able to show a few. And yeah, I'd wish I wish I could have those horses over again. I'm sure you guys have had that too, where you know, you've learned so much, and now I want that horse back, and there's so many things I do different. And so that part of it is always there. But I have not, I mean, I was, like I said, I had a training business. I was riding 25, 30 a day. I have not thrown a leg over a horse since 2013. When I said I'm done, I'm done. I have not been on a horse, and now it's almost like the alcoholic that's gone cold too. I'm not going to drink.
Right, don't go back.
Don't go back, because I don't want to go back. Right. I don't even want to, I don't want to get those feelings back of like, hey man, this is really cool again, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and so I've just made it a point. And I've had opportunities where I wanted to get on, or even during the veterans car, I wanted to get on turn back horse and go help those guys, you know, and do stuff. But yeah, it's kind of become
don't
a
hit
thing
that bottle, man.
Nope. Run away.
Ready for you.
Well, and it probably helps too that you're probably a bigger influence on the industry right now than you ever would have or could have been as a trainer. I mean, this, there's no one that doesn't know or use this. I mean, it's epic how this is a huge change, just like you said, or like Chris was saying earlier, when it's you, it's one of those things that you come accustomed to, and then it's a privilege, and then when it's gone, it's like, come on, you know, you know, like electric door locks or something. People don't even know what it's like to not have that, or electric windows. It's just, you've done something.
I would rather roll my own window up than go to horse show without seeing it.
Or cup holders. You know, people don't even remember there weren't cup holders in cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've made something like that, and that's a pretty big feather for yourself.
Well, but like I said, I've had a lot of help along the way. I'm just the face on it, and yeah, I mean, I've driven it. I've driven the bus, but I got a lot of people in the bus with me making it happen and making it look good and making it accurate, and the support of people. And I think that is the thing is, you know, when we're not at a show, that's when my phone rings the most. Like, damn it, why aren't they using you? You know, and all that. And it also, I think it makes people realize how addicted they are to it, you know, and how much they rely on it. And so that's I hate that we don't do all the shows. I'd love to do everything, and you know, and that's
well, you need
I'm
more kids.
So, well, yeah,
you should have had more kids.
I know this one's still chasing his baseball goals, but maybe I can sway him.
Come on,
I'm heading up there this weekend to go watch him play in Arkansas. So maybe I can sway him. I need more help. That's the thing. Yeah. But it's been fun.
Probably my one other question is, how much did it? When did you go from being someone that's just trying to get horse show to horse show, and when did you grow up? Was it in the marriage, or when the kids came, or?
My wife, I'm probably still not growing up. She tells me I'm so immature sometimes with the decisions I make. But I don't know. I think, meeting my wife, and, you know, when we had Hayden, our firstborn, I mean, just like, it changes your life right there. It's like, bang, it just changes all your priorities. And well, for me, it did. And now it's like I got to make sure I provide for, you know, for him and for Mary, and not that she hasn't done her part. She's done more than her share. And that's the part where I think, you know, having the family, I think, is when it first started hitting home. But, because I'm still pretty immature. I still screw off every once in a while, do some stupid shit, but that's just part of it.
But more of a sober outlook on life wanting to.
Yes. Yeah.
Stick with something.
Well, a lot more responsibilities too, and obviously with this, I mean, if it's not working, my phone starts blowing up.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've got to be prepared to fix it on the fly, or figure out what's going wrong, or, you know, or do that, and so that'll when it doesn't work, it'll sure slap you upside the head and say, pay attention here, you know, and so don't take it for granted. But that's the thing is, we have been able to automate a lot of it, and now working with NRCHA, you know, where it is tied in, there's a lot less hands touching the score. It's all automated now, and so that's made it a lot easier and a lot more accurate, you know, so that's been a good part of it. And that's where we're looking to grow with the show software that we're building. We can make it more automated for everybody and exponentially grow that way without me having to sit and babysit and make sure somebody's putting in the right scores, not just into the show scoreboard, but also into our scoreboard, and then adjusting those scores when there's a judge's review
and
all that part. Because we've put bubbles in everywhere, as you've seen. And so as soon as that bubble's not accurate, you know, it devalues what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So we really
the bubble is a very important number.
Very important.
First is not near as important as the bubble.
No. That line, those green scores in green, I mean, that's where it's all at.
Yeah.
If you're one of those bottom ones, that's when it can get stressful. Yeah. And so, but now it's, you know, it's just fun. And now, you know, we've just switched streaming providers again with our webcasts. And now we're getting more into the Roku side of things and Amazon TV and Apple TV, because people are sitting at home and wanting to watch it on their TVs.
They're wanting to watch something that's not trash, Mark, for crying out loud. It's horrible what's on TV.
So you can do that.
Yeah. So now you can pull up, and like I said, we're transitioning right now. We're putting up, we've got a channel on there, but I'm not going to tell you because we're going to delete those and we've got to put up our new ones for this new company that we're with. But then what you'll be able to do, just on Roku, you can search Performanceville Central and pull up the channel, and you can save it as your favorite or whatever and have it on there. Now, just saying, that is just for the shows where we actually produce the live stream. So like here at NCHA, Equine Promotion does the live stream. They handle the stream. We just carry it. We don't control that, so we can't transfer that onto our Roku app or wherever else. Mm. But some of the other shows that we do, you know, that's all available on there.
The cow horse. You just get to see it live.
Yeah. And so you'll be able, you just sit there and you turn it, and it's in high definition. I was amazed how clear it was. It's in high definition. I mean, the picture is really good, the quality is really good, and so a lot of people are doing that. You know, they're watching it there, and you can. So with the other streams that we don't produce, you can still Chromecast those to your TV as well, but there's a couple of extra steps sometimes. But it's been cool, and having it now to where the more video that we control, we don't have to worry about the copyright side, because I mean, I just want it out there, you know. And so we can archive stuff. You can go back and rewatch finals, and we're not stepping on a videographer's, you know, toes as far as them not being able to sell the videos or whatever. So just trying to, we've got a huge audience in Australia, and we're doing more shows over there. So those guys with the time difference, they can't stay up all night and watch, so they want to be able to go back and rewatch
it. Right, go back and watch,
so we have the DVR function on there, and even on mobile phones, you've got the DVR now with this new company we're with. So it's made it a lot easier for people to stay in touch with what's going on here, even though they're not here. And vice versa, we've got a lot of Aussies over here, and even Americans that are interested in the futurity over there, or even some of the camp drafting that we cover. So it's allowing more people to be able to kind of keep up with what's going on in the other countries, and seeing the same bred horses. I mean, Metallic Cats and whatever else, Stevies, all that. So
I didn't realize you guys covered the camp drafts. That's cool, because usually if I want to watch camp drafts, I just have to make sure that I've checked in with Jane Kennedy a few times, and then I can watch some good camp drafts.
Yeah, we haven't done a lot. I'd like to get more, and I'm actually going over there next month to go meet with some of those people and see if we can help each other out and get more exposure for the camp drafting, because I think there's a big interest in it, and it's probably as close to cow horse, I think, you know, than anything. I mean,
the cow horse is kind of growing there too, isn't it, Mark? Wilbur keeps calling.
Zane Davis is there right now, I think.
No, is he?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
He just flew straight there.
Right. They said he was going there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, the camp drafting is probably the biggest thing in Australia, and the cow horse, I think, is kind of a natural transition from that. And the camp drafters and the cutters have gotten a lot closer together. There's a lot more, you know, crossover there now. So I think, it's just a natural transition. I think the reining, obviously, is probably the harder part. With the horses that they have there, but I mean, it's all doable.
That's cool.
Speaking of reiners, Matt Mills called me on the way over here looking for a non-pro bridle horse and for something for him to be playing with. Yep.
Oh yeah, this cool. American is like, it's blown it up.
Yeah.
Now, I was talking to John Sanslow about it yesterday, and you know, and he said he's been hearing that, you know, those guys are starting to reach out to you and the cutters, and
it's like it used to be.
Yeah.
We used to go mixing around.
Yeah.
And everybody was better for it.
Well, I think it's cool because, like, they're the best of the best what they do, and you guys are the best of the best, and then the cutters, and then, like, you know, that all bleeds down, too. And like you've talked about before, the two-year-old guys, they're starting to spend a bit more time doing circles and other things to try to, you know, have that horse be able to go different directions rather than just the cutting pen, you know. And I just think what Teton is doing and what Taylor Sheridan's doing, I think it's all great. And you know, the more avenues we can have to get exposure for all the performance horse, I think it can only help everybody.
Yeah,
that's true.
and help the horse market and the trainers and allow more trainers to get involved and let there be a lifestyle there for them to chase that dream.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, this episode's been brought to you by Globe Life Family Heritage. Check them out at thomasagencies.com.
Well, pretty dang good interview right there.
Any questions? We done?
I can make one up.
No. Well, I just want to thank you guys for having me on. I've got to listen to a bunch of yours. Like I said, I've really enjoyed it. I don't know if people are going to get that same effect out of this one, but I'm really glad that we've come to where we can partner up, and hopefully I can help you guys grow and you help us grow, and we'll work together.
Yeah,
keep right on.
So if anybody's interested in sponsoring an episode, reach out to the guys, reach out to us here, and we'll get you on here, and you know, let's get it on.
Right awesome. On.
Very good. Well, till next time, go fast, make good decisions.
Thank you for listening to Cow Horse, Full Contact. Please like our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram to stay tuned for future episodes.